Hiding means they can't be seen. It's just you, Lord. You around us. Completely hidden, buried in Christ. What a beautiful reality, Lord. Just love you so much. We thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. Pursuing your own. Calling your own, redeeming your own, Lord. We just adore you tonight. Pray from every heart, Lord, you would just be so lifted up and magnified, Father. We love you, Lord. We just want to set aside these few minutes to you, Lord. Praying and trusting in an audience with you. It's not man. It's not man that we're feeding on. We're feeding on you, Lord. The body word of the Son of Man, this hour. We just want to tell you, Lord, how magnificent, how beautiful you are. Just come amongst us, we pray, and be lifted up, Lord, and again, minister to each and every heart. Lord, meet the needs of your people, we pray once more. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much, musicians. So thankful for a talented, gifted group that we have. Oh, my. All right, everyone standing. Let's go ahead and turn in the scriptures. We're going to start with just Proverbs chapter 3. And boy, I know this is familiar, but it's precious. Amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Amen. Trust. Amen. Right? Yes. Trust in the Lord with how much? All of thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. So there's a part of you that needs to trust. And there's a part of you that needs to be denied. Forget your own thinking. Forget your senses. Forget your own understanding. But that inside man, the part of you that says yes to the word of God, say yes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. All right. And then over to John chapter 17. And we'll start with verse 1. All right, then it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Is he going to lose one? He's not going to lose any, is he? Amen. All right, so rest, relax in him. Rest and relax in his promise. It's certain. It cannot fail. And verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God bless. You can be seated. Just want to greet everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greet everyone online, and hope everybody's doing well. There's a few missing tonight, of obviously traveling, and a few sick. And just lift up Dad and Charity, and I know there's others. And I think it's just an age, it's a season where, I don't know about you, I feel like the pressure is just mounting, just building, and the enemy's got so many tactics and measures to just distract us and divert our attention and keep us all wound up and planted, if you will, fixed in this dimension. And I feel like sometimes, you know, if you pardon the expression, I think we need a spiritual detox. We need our hearts and our minds purged by the Holy Spirit, and we need our vision reset. I think the Lord is always just saying, hey, look up higher, come up higher, look, you need my sight. If you look down here, you look at yourself and the world around you, you get locked into this dimension, and it's, anybody identify with that? Yeah, it's just what I've been feeling. Lord, cleanse us. Lord, purge us. Lord, free us of these things. So I actually would like to just take a minute. Let's just go right back into prayer. I want to lift up the ones who are not feeling well and the ones that are traveling, and let's lift them up together. Heavenly Father, we just come before you again, and we want to lift up Dad, Charity. There's so many. I know there's others. Sister Diane Gatchel, Brother Greg still recovering. The list goes on. Lord, we claim their healing by your stripes, Lord. It is complete. And Father, even tonight as we minister, that you would, I've got my hand up, and I know it's not just me, Lord. I'm asking just for a reset, Lord, of our thinking, our vision, our hearts, Lord, the things that the enemy through life, through the day-to-day, gets us maybe weighted down, discouraged, distracted. Father, would you purge those things out of us? Give us your sight. Give us a renewing, Lord, a refreshing tonight, I pray. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So just want to share something tonight. The title or the subject, if you'll, might sound a little bit odd, but really what I just had on my heart to minister on is faith. So if you just stay with me and think about faith, again, his sight, his mind, come up higher. You know, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up higher. I think we're invited to that in this day. Come up to where I am. And, you know, again, I think the enemy just constantly bombards these senses, this realm, gets us locked, gets us weighted down. And when he can get you consumed and totally fixed on this realm, boy, that's when there's trouble. So, but the Lord is good. And I think he comes along, he says, come on, nope, child. Eyes up here. I'm up here. This isn't reality. I am reality. This is not. So, you know, maybe for the young people, I'll say this. Here's my theme tonight. Just the reality of walking with him, walking in faith and holding his hands. That's what we're really after tonight. And it's beautiful. It's a mystery. And it's unique to every single one. So I can't compare myself to you. And you can't compare yourself to my life is going to be a mystery to you. And your life is going to be a mystery to me. Each one, take his hand and walk with him through all of life. And that's beautiful. And that's what, again, for the young people, but for all of us, that's kind of it in a nutshell. So Just as we read in John chapter 17, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So knowing him. And the theme there, or the thought within that, is knowing what cannot be taught, knowing what cannot be explained. That sounds a bit strange, but everybody who's walking this walk knows exactly that that is true. Knowing what cannot be taught. He's teaching you, but you learned it from him. He reveals it to you. Can you give it to your brother? No. Yes and no. We're here to help one another, to strengthen one another, to point each other to him. But it's you and it's him alone. And so much of what we experience in him is a mystery to others, to the world around us. And again, that's why I say knowing what cannot be taught, knowing what cannot be explained, it's knowing him. So again, I think you could say the mysterious walk, because this walk is very, very mysterious. So much of what we experience and we go through in our lives, again, it's just knowing and experiencing him. And you think of the reality of okay, the word of God comes to the child of God. God speaks, you hear, you recognize a voice. It's attractive. Something clenches. Something settles. Something says, yes, this is it. Many times, you couldn't explain it. And we could go through the whole scriptures. And just to take a few examples, but look at Noah. One man, I love Noah more all the time. You know, he heard and he obeyed. He listened to what God said. Could he explain how it was going to rain? You know, and I love it, because scientifically, they could prove there was no rain up there, as Brother Branham would say. It's impossible, scientifically. So against the course of science, of, you know, fact, of what is established truth of that day, he walked with God. Could he, again, he heard from him, he believed him, and that separated him. You hear from him, you believe him, and that separates you to him. So every single one of us are in that place, walking in a world, here we go, perfect faith. We're going to get into that, because I love that, with him alone. Let's go on. Abraham. Abraham, you're going to have a child. You could argue, if there was doctors around, what would they have said? You're crazy. This can't happen. It's impossible. Again, scientifically, impossible. How about Mary? Having a child, knowing no man? And what did she say? Yes, be it unto me. Amen. So the word, you just see just in these simple examples, again, knowing what can't be taught, knowing what can't be explained. I heard, I believe, and that's enough. God will perform his word. He will perform what he said. And so many times, we just leave the rest into his hands. You're an oddball. You're, you know, strange to the world around you, and that's okay. But each one of us are called into that place. So I hope as we go through this again, this is helpful and encouraging, and I just pray the Lord would raise up our faith. And again, come up higher, come up to where I am. And I think it's so true. Now, if you look at so much, you know, again, the men and the women of the Bible, back thinking on that thought of knowing him, knowing what can't be taught, what can't be explained. Look at God raising his men and his women. Look at the prophets, the gifts and the callings and the things that they went through. Did Brother Branham, just to start with him and his example, did he understand his life and his ministry right away? No way. And the same is true for many of us. Many times we go through things. We actually, I think in many cases, We experience him long before we understand, right? We go through things. I look back now 20 years later and I see the Lord did this. The Lord drew me. The Lord did these things for me. And now it starts to make some sense and I can look back and I can see what he's done. But at that time, you know, again, you're just receiving and he's working and he's moving and he's dealing with you. You don't understand it. So again, kids, my encouragement, my advice, love him, walk with him, hold his hand every day. Don't wait for the folks around you. Don't match or align with the folks around you. You take his hand and walk with him. In fact, if I could drop in a warning here, because the reality is really in, you know, it's human nature. In any religious realm, there's a danger, and many dangers. But the one I'm thinking of tonight as I minister on this is security by association. I'm in the message. I'm safe. I have a good pastor. I'm safe. I go to a good church, etc. My family, you name it. Danger, danger, danger. Your security, your identity is in one place, period.
Amen.
Him. So just, again, be mindful of these things. I think, you know, if we're not careful, you could think that, well, I'm safe, I'm secure, and because we're in the message, we're exempt or immune from certain things, and it's not true. God wants you to walk with him alone. And you're going to experience him in ways your brother or sister may or may not. And together we love each other and we walk together and we encourage, we do all we can, but it's you, it's him alone. Come walk with me. Come learn of me, as he says. Take my yoke and learn of me. Learn from me. Two. You and him. Okay, thank you, Lord. And I think this becomes, as we go on and on and on in our walk, this reality of walking with him, this reality of knowing him, experiencing becomes so precious. It's your possession, something the world can't take away. He leads me in a way that he doesn't lead you, Brother Russ. Isn't that true? You hear him in a way that I don't hear him, etc. Go on the list, but it's that individual walk and experience is so priceless, so precious to each one of us. Amen. I love, I shared this, I think, recently. Well, it's been a while. You probably don't remember now. On Grace Ministries, but beautiful words. It's from the message, I Will Restore. He says, so the church of the living God, is built not upon the experience of a seminary or upon a bunch of men's creeds, but it's built upon, listen, the spiritual revelation of God's word, the spiritual revealed truth from God's word, one word at a time, real slower, coming from God out of heaven to every heart. There you go, right there. That is just magnificent, beautiful. And that's it. You know, so much of what I'm trying to convey here in a nutshell, the spiritual revealed truth of God's word coming from God out of heaven to every heart. The word dropping down, I've received it, I see it. Can I explain it? Maybe not, probably not. Sometimes maybe yes, maybe no. But he spoke, I heard, and there you go. The church is built upon that. There's your identity. There's your security. My goodness. Okay, let's just go into some scriptures as we continue this thought. Luke chapter 17. Thank you again for everybody feeling in and helping out. David and the sound. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Again, we know this. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Where is it? Either they shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Wow. Don't you love it? Knowing him, brothers and sisters, come walk with me. John, let's go forward now, actually from Luke to John, chapter 1. And we're going to hit a couple here in John. John chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. It says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? Where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. But those words, so telling. I think that is just such a beautiful picture there. Where do you live? He says, come and see. Come and walk with me. Come follow me. And your whole life, you are there. You're with him. He's saying, you and you and you, each one of you, come and see. Let me lead you. Let me show you myself. I want you to experience me. And it's just going to be me and you. Come walk with me. Come listen. Come see. John chapter 3, just a little bit forward here, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Very familiar passage. And just again, looking at the individuality, this personal revelation, the personal walk. John 3 verse 5 says, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There you go. We're not copycats. We shouldn't try to be copycats. Don't try to make sense of somebody else's life. I can barely make sense of my own life. And he wants that freedom in every single one of us to lead. He says, come, walk with me, and you'll see. You'll find out for yourself along the way what this means, what this looks like. Come and see. Come walk with me. Amen. Reminds me of Abraham. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 11 talks about by faith, Abraham left. He left and went to a strange country. He didn't know where he was going, it says. Again, there you go. He heard, he responded. God spoke, he listened, he followed, and started walking. Where am I going? I don't know. I'm listening to him. I don't know. I'm walking with him. There we go. That's what we're called to, every single one of us, that individual place of knowing him, the mystery and the joy and the beauty of knowing him, walking with him. Living in a world with God alone. Amen. Perfect faith. I mentioned that earlier, and we've focused a lot, of course, on paragraph 114, Jesus living in that world with God alone. But I want to back up a little bit. I mean, he's saying the same thing here. Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. Going to be any different with us, with you, with me? He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. Isn't that beautiful? If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. All right? You'd be a mystic to the world. Yeah. Don't try to change that. You can't. You're an oddball. That's okay. Whose side do you want to be on? His? Or not his. That's your choices. I just love that. We'd be a mystic to the world. People wouldn't understand you. Oh, we kind of wrestle with that a little bit sometimes, I think. You can't. You can't understand God. You can't. I love the message. I've always loved it. Just the title. God being understood? No. God being, there is a sermon. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. God being misunderstood. He has been misunderstood. You will be misunderstood. Welcome it, embrace it, walk with him. You will be a mystery and a mystic to the world as well. We want to be accepted. We want to be understood. It's just human nature. But in this aspect of our lives, we walk with him alone. Whether the world understands, whether your family can relate to you, whether we walk with him. So he says again, the people wouldn't understand. You'd walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit says do, you do. What it forbid, you would not do. Then the people begin to say, he says you'd be a mystic person to them. That's the way it is to A-L-L, all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. Wow. The disciples couldn't understand him. Ooh, do you want to go there? It doesn't sound too fun. When he spoke to them, they say this, and then they said, you talk in riddles. We don't understand. How can you be? How can? He says, see, he wasn't in the world. They wasn't in the world that he lived in. They couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. So again, just want to pause there for a second. I hope this makes sense. Again, the thought is knowing him. This is life eternal, that you and me, you, each one of us, might know him. And with knowing him, maybe you can, maybe you can't explain it or even understand it. But you know him and you're caught up in a world where he is and it's you and him alone. All right, let's continue on with some scriptures. I hope this makes sense. I hope it's helpful. It's a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is Paul, and I think this is so fitting, so important for us to keep in mind. We'll just start actually with verse 1. Yeah. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Beautiful. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Here we go. If you can be taught, if I can persuade you or I can convince you, someone else can persuade you otherwise. You must be taught of him, period. That's what we're talking about. Every man taught of God. Everyone in a relationship with their Father. Hearing, receiving. And that sets you apart. And that takes you into a world with just you and him. And there is where you walk. And you walk the walk and carry on for your life. And that's what's so beautiful. Knowing him. Where did I leave off? Okay. Was it verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom. Ooh, beautiful wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now just savor these words for a minute as we go forward. How about us in this day? How about us in this hour? What has been opened up through the opening of the seals? What has been given to us to partake of and to become one with? Wow, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But is that, here we go. Verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So it's not the carnal man. It's not natural learning and understanding. It's nothing intellectual. It's spiritual revelation. Amen. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. Verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. That he's given us of his own mind. You know, I love Brother Branham in Christ, the Mystery of God, revealed how he talks about God in the back part of his mind before time, how he wanted to express and to reveal himself. And guess what? You were there. You were part of that. And we are now in the final stages of that mystery, that beautiful act coming into its completeness. And the Word, the fullness of the Word, the mind of Christ coming into a bride. Amen. And she will display. She will project him. Beautiful. Okay, a couple more. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Come see. Master, they said, where do you live? He says, come and see. Come and see, brothers and sisters. Take his hand, young people. Walk with him. Follow him. Come and see. All right, Galatians chapter 1. So sorry. Just Paul. Again, so beautiful. This is Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can, every single one of us, say amen. Amen. Yes. God uses vessels, of course he does, but you learned, you received what you have in your heart because the Holy Spirit taught you. Mm-hmm. He opened your eyes. He revealed himself to you. And that is priceless. And there and in there, in that beautiful place of him speaking, him revealing, you walk with him, you experience him, you know him, because it's just you and him. He's revealing himself to, and again, maybe you can explain it, maybe you can't. A lot of times you can't, but you know him, you know his voice, you know his word. All right, Ephesians 3, more of the same here. Let's just keep moving a bit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Oh. I hope this makes some sense. I hope it's helpful. All right. Ephesians 3:17, he says, may that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. That's revelation. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. You are going to know something. What comes next? That passes knowledge, that exceeds knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. You're going to know something, again, that maybe cannot be explained. But he teaches you. You experience him. You know it. Amen. Isn't that rich? Okay, spiritual adoption, the message. Kind of like we read before. He says, may I take this moment to say this, my friends, the entire church of the living God is built solemnly upon the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire church. Not that plus, it's him. It's the revelation of himself. No matter how educated you are, How smart you may be, how well you think you know the Bible, Satan knows it a lot better than you do. Yeah, he does. But only through revelation. Ah, God, here we go, right here. Only through revelation, God, through the Holy Spirit, your tutor, your tutor. Take that very personal, revealed it to you that he saved you by his grace. Amen. Let me just read that again. That's so beautiful. The entire church of the living God is built solemnly on. I like this. This strips out every kind of religious form, and it's you and him, and he reveals himself to you. It's a love affair. Like we read earlier, the spiritual revelation of God coming out of heaven to every heart. Amen. What a priceless treasure. And there, we take his hand and we walk. There we experience him. You and him alone. And you know him. And you know what cannot be taught. You know what maybe cannot be explained, but you know him. How's this going to be? When is it going to be? Well, there's this wonderful thing when you're in that place with him and he reveals his word to you, the when and the how don't matter anymore. He spoke his word. I received his word. He's revealed it to me. When and how? It doesn't matter. It's going to be. When is this bride going to produce and manifest what was spoken of her in this hour? It will. Don't know when, but it will when he has ordained it to. I have one job, and that's to feed on what he's giving me, to feast on this word, to delight myself in this word, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen. Amen. Lord, raise us up. Raise our hearts and our visions, our thinking. Let's not be so grounded into this dimension. I love this. This is from the Message. Faith. There we go. Perfect. And again, he's just talking just simple faith here, but it's what we need. He says, the two people there, Joshua and Caleb, they wasn't looking at how big the walls was. All right. Different class of people here. They're looking at something else. They weren't looking at how big the walls was, how big the man was. They were looking to what God said. They said, we can take it. That's right. And on the road back, they brought back some evidence, some great big bushels of grapes or bunches of grapes brought back as evidence that God had kept his word. Now listen, he says to you, evidently this was preached in Philadelphia. He says, you dear Philadelphian people, regardless of how the wind blows, how it seems this way or that way, or how many threats come from the outside world. Oh, I like that. Let me see that. Say it again. He says, regardless of how the wind blows, how it seems this way or that way, or how many threats come from the outside world, keep your minds on what Jesus said. He gave us a promise. It's already ours. He says, I don't care how great the opposition looks, God will fulfill his word. Amen. He gave us a promise. It's already ours. I don't care what the opposition looks like. Amen. So I think, again, in this journey, in this walk of knowing him and experiencing him, he works with each one of us in a very unique, very personal way, where he takes us into a place where all else loses influence, but that word, that soul, reality, because the soul says amen to one thing, and that's the word of God. And every other sense, every other factor, everything else loses all influence. And we're dominated, and you're dominated by him and his word. It's grace. But that's the beauty of knowing him and walking with him in this place. It's secret. It's you and him. Psalm 91 says, blessed is the man who, I might have that right. Abides in the secret place, right? Of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. You and him in that secret place. Don't look around you. Don't compare, like I said earlier. I love Jesus' words in John chapter 21, where the disciples, they're saying, hey, what about this guy over here? Is he going to, What if I tarry till he comes, or however it goes? He says, what is that to thee? Follow me. what about, what about? We get too busy comparing and looking around. He says, follow me. What is that to thee? Follow me. So I again, just Lord, help us, our focus, our eyesight. Let us have that mind. Okay, this is Hebrews chapter 12. I love this. Now, let's see here. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to read this verse 1 and 2 in the Amplified. Look it up when you get home, or it's, you know, the Amplified and the, what is it, Wiest can get a little wordy, but it's rich. So just bear with me, or just look it up when you get home. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified of the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. I like this. Now, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that's set before us. I like that. Strip it all away. Look to, let me keep reading, sorry. He says, looking away from all that will distract us, and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So he's saying, come walk with me. Look to me, follow me, and I'm going to complete that work. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. The first incentive for our belief in the one who brings our faith to maturity. I like that. Who for joy, the accomplishing of the goal set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Wow. I know that was a lot. Again, go home and read it. It's just beautiful. That was Amplified, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. But I again, just like that aspect of looking away from all else, looking only to him. Let's run this race. Keep moving. That's how you keep going every day, by watching, looking at him and him alone. Amen. Okay, now this is, again, something from the unveiling of God. You know, you look at, I love to just go into the message and just search and put in different terms and phrases and things and just see. So I'll give you some homework if you want it. Go into the table and type in the term. Let's see, you different combinations. Look at the unseen. Look to the unseen. Looking to the unseen. All those different kind of variations, and just read through and be encouraged. Be blessed, because so much that the prophet says. You know, again, it's back to this theme that's in my heart of forgetting this world and looking to him and walking him walking with him alone by faith. So again, let me just go into this now. This is unveiling of God. He says he'd left. Then the 12 left, and actually this is amazing. So unveiling of God, 64. Back up and read more of this, because this whole sequence that he's going into is just, it's incredible. He's talking about how the 70 walked away, right? He says, then he had 12 left. He chose 12, and one of them was a devil, he said. So he turned to them. He says, there's no one that could explain what he said. How are they going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And how did he come down when he was born right here on earth? See, they couldn't understand it. And then he turned to his apostles. He said, do you want to go also? That's when the apostle Peter made that great statement. Lord, to who would we go? He says, for we are satisfied. You say amen? Does that kind of ring a bell? We're satisfied. We know surely that you and you alone have the word of life of this hour. Amen. We're satisfied of that. See, they couldn't explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe, and it's so solid, there's nothing else that will take its place. Therefore, they know that the word that was written for that age, Alpha and Omega, that they were living in the Messianic age, that he fit that perfectly. perfectly. And what could they do to go back in those cold, formal churches they'd come out of? He said, where would we go to? We're fully persuaded that you have the word of life. See, and they couldn't explain it. They believed it. There we go. Knowing him. Knowing what cannot be taught, what cannot be explained. You and him, the revelation of himself. What a conflict, because the enemy's trying to get us bound and locked into this world and this realm. And he's saying, no, come up. Come up. Look to me. Come where, live where I am. Come up higher. This is reality, not down here. So this whole thing is a journey and it's a process. It's a mystery. I'm not walking with you and you're not walking with me. We're walking with him, every one of us, and learning him as we go. And he reveals himself one step, one day at a time. Isn't it wonderful? It's an adventure sometimes. Oh my, don't you love him? Okay, let's just a few more and then we'll kind of change the order of the service here shortly. This is greater than Solomon. He says there's always three classes of believers, of people. Believers, make-believers, and unbelievers. The unbeliever will get up and walk away. The make-believer will stand around for a long time. There are three of them. He says the unbeliever crowd, the make-believer, the group that turned away last. But there's a genuine, here we go, genuine believer who couldn't explain it. A genuine believer who couldn't explain it. They know nothing about it, but they knowed he was the Word. I know this. I know this. And I can't explain it. I know this is true, and I'm not leaving. Not for all the tea in China. It's it. It fixed. It settled. Don't you love that? Oh, my goodness. Okay, one more, and then maybe a few musicians want to go ahead and come. This is the message, looking at the unseen. Again, go dig in and do we have musicians? Kind of quiet. I don't see anybody moving. What's that? David, you want to come play? Yeah, well, I guess we can. Sure, we'll skip it. We'll wait till after. I was going to just sing a song or, yeah, somebody wants to play the piano. David, you going to come play for us or? Did Stephen and Bethany take off, or are they? Okay, yeah, he mentioned that they had to leave earlier. So, all right. Looking at the unseen, I love this. When a man once catches the vision of the invisible God and know that he's always, oh, I like that. Let me start over. When a man once catches the vision of the invisible God and knows that he's always present, how sure, how confident are you in his presence, that he's with you, that he is ordering and directing every step? See, there's a threat, there's a danger there. The enemy gets us all in a toil and a turmoil over overthinking. Looking back, looking forward, worrying, wondering, what about the past, what about the future? He can get you all tied up in knots. But you rest in the reality that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He's in control. He is so deeply involved in every aspect of your life. So I just went on with that side for a minute, but I just like what he says there. When a man once catches the vision of the invisible God and know that he's always present. Oh, I like that. There's something that stabilizes that man's thinking. Isn't that beautiful? It stabilizes his actions. And in the time of distress and trouble, it'll still make him look upward and above the things that are happening around him because he's looking at the unseen. Come see where I live. Come walk with me. Come follow me. Now, Abraham, not only did he see the unseen, and the reason he believed it was because God said it. If he said, if we be dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. And if the spirit that was in Christ dwells in us, It does the same thing. It takes every divine promise of God that was in the Bible, calls it present tense, and rests upon it there. Isn't that beautiful? I got to send this out. Where if you look with your eyes and you see that our nation is shaking and trembling, war clouds are flying everywhere, every nation under distress and perplexity of time. Yep. Every sign that Jesus said would happen is happening. There would be a sign in the heavens above and in the earth below, and great things would be taking place, like the flying saucers and the mystic things taking place. But he commanded his church. He commanded his church to lift up their heads in that day. Look up. Look up. Come up higher. Look, for the unseen Christ will be appearing pretty soon. So if we only walk by sight, we would be the... If we only walk by sight, we would be the children of darkness, sure enough. But I'm so glad to know there's light that shines in every believer's heart until the eternal day when Jesus comes. My goodness, look up. Look to the unseen. This isn't reality. He is. He says, come up higher. Come walk with me. Come know me and experience me and let me reveal myself to you. You're going to be mystic. You're going to be odd and misunderstood. But he's waiting and he wants that communion, that fellowship with you. He longs for you. He longs for your, think about that, your communion. I wonder, I've been convicted lately. And I thought, is the Jesus in me starving? Is he eating last? Lord, help us. He wants your fellowship. He wants your communion. In all these things, brothers and sisters, look up. Look up. He's inviting us. Come higher. Come to where I am. Come walk with me. Let me show myself to you. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's just a little different here. I know we're going to change the order of the service. So, Wings of Faith, if we could just sing that. We can start. I'll try to start.
There are two roads you may take, one by sight and one by faith. Take the word of God or what you see, what you believe is what will be. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your to the winds of faith. What's your need? What's your cry? What's your mountain that's much too high? Speak the word of God, and by it will move. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly not struggle. It's by grace. Set your ways to the winds of faith. Watch the eagle in the sky. He does not struggle. He does not strive for the power that makes him rise is already in the sky. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Watch the bride in this end time. She does not struggle. She does not strive for the power that'll make her rise is already down inside. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Amen, amen, amen. You know something? You have wings. Just a little reminder. You can fly. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you tonight. We just want to express our gratitude again, our love, and just your amazing grace, Lord, and how you truly have captured our hearts, Lord. You're just so in love with you, Lord. We may not know the answers. We may not understand a lot of things, but we know you. Oh, it's wonderful, Lord. We pray again tonight you would just raise the people's faith, all of our faith, Lord, into a higher place. You would give us that refreshing and that purging of just the world and its nonsense. Give us a refocusing tonight, I pray. We bless you and just ask now your hand upon this next part of the service, that you would be so supremely glorified and lifted up, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians, if you want to go ahead. Is this okay? Can you hear me? It sounds a little off, but maybe it's fine. All right, so maybe servers, if you would come. I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Isn't that amazing? All that he went through, here he is, he's saying, when he was given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. He's still saying that, isn't he? Take and eat, come and partake. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, let a man eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord. Wherefore,
whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Okay. Well, that's glad be.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, and as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. No doubt, Lord, the foresight of what he knew was coming, the breaking of the body, the torture, the pain on the body for what knew no sin. Lord, you said, do in remembrance of me. And tonight, as we come and gather tonight, Lord, we're not coming on our own merits or saying I'm good enough to partake of communion. Lord, we're imperfect people that have heard from you.
Amen.
Heard your word and something called deep down inside of us. And Lord, have said, that's where I belong. That's home. That's me. And so, Lord, you have worked in our hearts. You have drawn us unto yourself, though we live in this flesh and we make mistakes every day. We're all born under by one Spirit, or we're baptized into the Spirit. We've come tonight to honor you and to remember that great sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Express in our hearts, Lord, our love for you, and say that by no means, no goodness, we would come, Lord, but simply to your cross we come and trust no other thing.
Amen.
Just, bless each one as they come to partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, good.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood that you shed. Saving us from sin, cleaning us and making us presentable before you. Lord, you shed that blood one time, and it echoes throughout all eternity, saying there is a propitiation, there is a substitute that someone
can Amen, has amen.
Lord, tonight, whatever sin we may have found ourselves in, we know if we can look towards the cross of Calvary, if we can by faith take our hands and touch them on the head of Jesus and say, for your sins I died, as he said, that you can receive my holiness. That's so important, to give us strength to live. And so we pray as we drink of this wine, of memory of that, that that would strengthen our souls, that that would attach us once again to you and to your delivering power. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Giving thanks. Amen.
Amen. Come and partake. growing and living inside of you, becoming one with you, can't do anything but produce him. And where does that put us? In service to each other, in love with each other, at each other's feet. Amen. Let's go ahead and wash now. Wash feet.